And we're at the home of Martha and Mary. I think Charlie stole this.
I know this one.
You know this one. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. May this time be used wisely. May the Spirit open our minds and ears to hear a word from you. And may you be glorified and honored. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. By a show of hands, how many of you are to-do list people? You have a little list and you live by the list, nice and high. Yes, about half of us. We love our lists. You probably get as much excitement taking your pen and scratching out the thing you've just done. That is a thrill. So, to-do lists. Ben Franklin had a short one. Well, he actually had a long one, but he had two questions that he would always ask himself, one in the beginning of the day and one at the end of the day. The question in the beginning of his day would be, "What good shall I do today?" And the question he would always ask himself at the end of the day would be, "What good have I done today?" So in the beginning of the day, "What good shall I do today?" At the end, "What good have I done today?" It's pretty good. Now, 100 years ago, Charles Schwab was struggling in his company. There was a lot of people that were ineffective. So he hired in an expert to come in, and he said, "If you can fix the problems here at the company, you can ask me for any amount of money for whatever the advice is worth." And don't you know that the fella suggested that the employees start a list with 6 items on it, focusing on a single task at a time, and at the end of the day, anything left over on the list would then get added to the top of tomorrow's. The story goes that the fella charged $25,000 for that. It's pretty good. Now, all of us should have some kind of lists, but unfortunately, today in our busy world, we have jumbled priorities. We have jumbled priorities. In fact, I have this little tiny book here by a man by the name of Charles Hummel, and it's called Tyranny of the Urgent. Tyranny of the Urgent. And as a senior in seminary, the professor gave this to all of the students. And he said, as a pastor, you're going to be doing a lot of juggling. A lot of your job is juggling. The nature of the ministry has changed. Where before it was a much slower paced, simple job, whereas today there's lots of juggling. The dynamics have changed. And this is by no means a new book, but I just want to share with you a nugget of what this is about. He said one day while he was working in a factory, his manager walked over to him and gave him some of the greatest advice he's ever received. He said, "Your greatest danger is letting the urgent things crowd out the important. Letting the urgent things crowd out the important." Now, you and I live in a constant tension between urgent and important. You remember when your home was a castle? When you got home from work, and you were home from work. There was no Facebook. There was no texting. There was no Facebook Messenger. And you were just home. And work was a place you left. Today, the lines are blurred. And work and home almost don't exist anymore. This is about priorities. So some of us need to create what we call a to-don't list. Instead of a to-do list, we need to create a to-don't list. We need to avoid the tyranny of the urgent. And we need to start thinking about the things in our life that are crowding out the important things. And that reminds us all of this passage of Scripture that we've read this morning. So for a few minutes, I'd like to take a look at what Mary and Martha and Jesus can teach us. Well, first, let's go a little bit deeper into the culture and custom of this story. We just heard it. Charlie did an excellent children's sermon. Brian just read the Scripture for us. So culturally, think about this. Jesus is at the house. This is the Middle East. This is a long time ago. Culturally, a woman at a man's feet was a no-no. Completely taboo. It's something you do not do. You don't even think of doing. But yet in the Scripture here, in the story, we find that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. We also find in the custom of the day that she was also doing something she wasn't supposed to be doing. While her sister was in cooking, preparing, she was in with the men. Now, in those days, women weren't allowed to hang out with the men as they were talking about important issues. They had their area, and the men had their area. And so you have to understand how huge this is at that time to see what Mary was doing. She was ignoring her duties, and she was sitting at the feet of a man, nonetheless, Jesus. We see this throughout the Bible. You remember in the 4th chapter of John, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman, he sends the disciples away. They're gone. And the Bible tells us, the Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So this is the same kind of custom that was happening here in this scenario. Women didn't do this. It was shocking. It was striking. Now you can imagine Mary in the kitchen. You know, you've been there. You have company over. You're getting busy. You're worried about what they're going to think. And so here's Mary probably stewing to herself. Right, Martha. That's right. I guess I do need you sitting next to me. So Martha's sitting there going, "That Mary, I can't believe. Look at her. So lazy. Avoiding all this responsibility. While I'm in here doing all the work, I'm sweating." And we've all been there, all of us. You're thinking, "I can't believe what they're doing." And then your mind starts to think about what the other person's thinking. She's thinking about what Jesus is thinking. "How embarrassing. I can't believe my sister's out there. Look how close she is to Jesus. Doesn't she know any better? Why is she always doing this? How humiliating." There were people. But Jesus' response, "Martha, Martha," twice for emphasis. You know, one of the things that's interesting about this passage is when you look in your Bibles, it says Mary and Martha are contrasted. Mary and Martha are contrasted. I know this is weird, but every time I think of this story, I always think of the story as Mary versus Martha. Mary or Martha. As if one was bad and one was good. But that's not the case. It's Mary and Martha. One isn't bad and one isn't good. Jesus says one has chosen the better things. See, in that moment, Mary sitting at Jesus' feet was just the better thing. It was not that Martha was wrong or sinful. It's just she understood that in that time, there was something precious happening, and she chose the better thing. It's not either or. It's not that we can take this passage and say, "Hey, look, all that other stuff isn't important. See, you don't need to prepare. See, you don't need your list. That's not what's happening here. It's just we have to understand the context when there's something so precious in front of you, something so rare, something so beautiful, it's okay to stop. It's okay to appreciate. It's okay to sit at his feet and absorb and learn. It's not that one is bad and one is good. It's just they're both appropriate. Just one was more appropriate for the time. Now, moving on. For us, it's easy to lose sight of the most important things, isn't it? And I'm included in that. It's easy to lose sight of the most important things. Reading through Joshua this week, I'm coming to the end of the book. And the beginning of Joshua chapter 23, the Bible teaches us that Joshua was aged. He sort of accomplished everything he was going to accomplish. He was an incredible warrior. Where Moses led with a staff, Moses led with a sword. There's a lot of blood in Joshua, but he's older now. He's sort of looking back and reflecting and anticipating the future. And when you read this passage in verse 8, he says, but you are, he's giving advice. He says, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. And then only a few verses later, so take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. If you were to listen to someone's last words, they're not going to waste them. They're precious. And he's saying, listen, I'm old, I'm advanced in age. I'm going to be moving on to the next part of my life. Eternity is waiting for me. But listen, really listen to this. Cling to the Lord. Love God with everything you've got. It's almost like his last words, so you know they have a lot of meaning. And the people were all ears. Here's what Phyllis Wallace said about losing sight of the most important things. He said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. If we learn to say no to good things, and we are able to say yes to the better things, then God will send good things our way. But I love that, because it's yes to the what? Better things. You see how the devil works? That's his playground. He wants us to believe that everything is either all right or all wrong, but it's saying yes to the better things. That's what Mary was doing with Jesus. So what are the important things? Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the serving? Then tell her to stop and help me. But the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. And what were the good things? Mary, sitting at his feet, listening to his words. What is that about? It's about priorities. It's about time. Your most precious commodity. The thing you and I can never, ever get back. I've heard it said so many times that at the end of people's lives, they always say the same thing. I wish I would have worked less and spent more time with my family and friends. Now, here's what James Dobson said in terms of this idea in the family. He says, it is overcommitment, time pressure. There is nothing that will destroy family life more than hectic schedules and busy lives. Where spouses are too exhausted to communicate, too worn out to have intimacy, too fatigued to talk with their children, that frantic lifestyle is just as destructive as one involving out sin. And then he says, if Satan can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And that's just about the same thing. It's about our priorities. Now, we're all busy. I understand that. So the challenge today is to come back to what is truly important, to carve out time for what's truly important. Now, you know who really gets this? Now, everyone gets to brag on their kid, but, you know, I have the microphone, so. Yesterday, we started our day, Isabella and I, at Home Depot. We went and built this little Easter Bunny carrier thing. And then throughout the day, we also hit Daffin's, what was it? Or Philadelphia Candies, something like that. Yeah. And then we went to Kmart. And then we went to Dunham's. And then we went to Taco Bell. And we waved at people as they went through the drive-thru. So we had a full day. Okay? She needs things to keep her preoccupied, Isabella. So at the end of the day, I always ask her. I say, Isabella, what was the best part of your day? You know what she says to me? You, Dada. You, Dada.
Doesn't get any better than that.
It can't. Now, here's why I say this. First of all, I can't believe she says it. Really, it just blows me away. Secondly, I like to hear it. But for her, all that other stuff is secondary to being with Dad. And that's Mary and Martha. Isn't that the point? All the other stuff is secondary to being with Dad. So what do you need to cross off your to-do list? Is it time for us to make a to-don't list to spend some time with Dad? Maybe it is. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, there's so much to learn in this little passage from these people, especially from you, Jesus, that continually calls us back. Lord, you want us to reorganize our life around you and to recognize you and sit at your feet. So, Father, help us to take a look at ourselves, not around the room, but ourselves, and ask ourselves, how can we find time to sit at your feet? Because at the end of the day, connecting with you always is most important. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And we will conclude this morning service by singing.